interested in church and they're not interested in the things of God because they've never experienced Him. The Bible says this. I like this scripture in the Psalms. It says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm a picky eater sometimes. And somebody will say, try to get me. I say, I don't like that. They said, have you even tried it? And a lot of times I'll say, no, but I just know I don't like that. I don't want any of that. And that's the way it is with many people with God. Have you tried Him? Have you experienced Him? And the question, the answer most of the time is no, they have not. They might have tried religion. They might have tried to come to church. But more than that is just to experience God Him in Himself. We need to pray that God, in our own lives, that He would just magnify Himself. You know what we can never go wrong doing at the church? If we pray that God would just magnify Himself. That's the greatest thing we could ever experience. God, just show us Your glory. Just make much of Yourself here at Oak Grove Baptist Church. If we pray that, guess what? I know that God wants to do that. God wants to make much of Himself. He wants to get the praise that's due His name. He wants to show up and do a mighty work. And we just need to ask for that. And that's what we need to really want. See, some people say that, but they don't really want that. And what we need to do is really get down to our hearts and really want that and really desire it. Desire to go deeper. Experience the deep things of Jesus Christ. Man, many times we just stay on such a shallow surface. I mean, we just scratch in the shallow. It was like I talked about our prayer life a few months ago, that our prayer life had become, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Or, thank You, give us this day our daily bread, and that's all we say. We got to go deeper. Well, we got to go deeper with our relationship with God. That's what Moses is saying here. I want to go deeper. I want to know You closer. I want to know You more intimately. I want more than I'm getting. It's good to want more of God. It's okay to not be content with the amount of God you've got and to want more of Him. And we ought to just desire to go deeper. Your walk with God be deeper. Our church's spirituality be deeper. That we just be a healthier church that's walking with God in a closer way. And that we just want more. And you know what? When we get more, it's kind of like the billionaire. They asked him, how much is enough? He said, a little bit more. Amen? Well, we could have a great church and still desire more. We could have a great walk with God, still desire more. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's what Moses was desiring. Look in verse 9 of chapter 34. We see a little bit more into Moses' heart. He said, and he said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Is what Moses said. Go among us. Just live among us. Just come in and be amongst us. He said, look, we're a stiff-necked people. We're a stubborn bunch of folks. We are rebellious people. But forgive us of our iniquity. And listen to this. He said, take us for your inheritance. So that's what we want God to do with us. You know what you do with an inheritance? Man, you get it and you enjoy it. You use it. You take it. And that's what we want God to do with us. To just take us and enjoy us, to use us. And you know what will happen? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God will give us the desires of our hearts if we set our heart on Him. Now, a lot of people take that scripture and out of context. They'll say, well, God said He'd give me the desires of my heart. And they go off into every other thing. No, God will give you the desire of your heart if the desire of your heart is more of God. Man, He'll give you more of Himself. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if I set my heart on the things of God, you know what He'll do? He'll give me the desires of my heart. And He'll just give me Himself. Now, Moses had a great desire. But God gave him some stipulations to how to get here. How to get with God. How to get more of God. How to see the glory of God. And I want you to understand something now. We want that, but even in wanting that, it matches more than we even know. We don't even know what we say. Moses wanted to see Him, and God said, you can't even see Me. You can't see My face. You'd die if you saw My face. He said, I'm going to put you over here in the cleft of the rock and you can see my hind parts, and that'd be all you can see. And even that's going to put him in a place, you know. And so we want God, but there's just so much of God we couldn't even handle. But God's going to give us what we need of Him. But look at what He told him to do. And if you and I want to desire and have more of God, here's what we need to do. Verse 1 of chapter 34. Said, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. These are the tablets, the commandments that were written. He said, I'll write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou didst break. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. Now, he told him a couple of things. Number one is to get these tables ready, these tablets, to have the Word of God written on them. If you want to experience God, I just got news for you tonight. You just got to get in the Word of God. And that's always going to be. Our church is about to be 91 years old. And if it lives another 91 years and I was still here to preach, the Word of God wouldn't change. If you want to experience God, you've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to experience Him in that way. And so, if you want to know more about God, here's where we tonight, Sunday night crowd, here's where we get lulled into sleep. I've already read the Word of God. And we fool ourselves into thinking we already know everything there is to know. And we might know that we shouldn't steal and we shouldn't lie and that we should pray more. We know those things. But what God does is He takes the Word of God and He teaches us some lessons. Just like every week when I get up here to preach, I love the fact that I'm forced to stay in the Word of God. It does help me, amen. It benefits me spiritually. I've got to preach four times a week, and so I've got to be in the Word of God. But what God said to me, Derek Danton, this week, whenever he rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith, he said, Derek, you have a lack of faith. Your expectations of me have dwindle down to a place they need not be. And you need to bring your expectations to me back up to a high place. And I'm glad I read the Word of God. I'm glad He spoke to my heart on that. And then I read this about Moses, and this has been on my heart all week, when Moses said, just show me your glory. Man, God spoke to me and said, well, that's what we need. We need the glory of God. And that's what the Bible does for us. Every week we get in, and every week God can give us something new about Himself that we need. But then He says this, in verse 2, and be ready in the morning. You know, there's so much about life, we'd all have to agree, is just about being ready. Just being ready. Have you ever, something happened and you just weren't ready? An opportunity presented itself, but you weren't ready. And it slipped by you. Well, here's what God is telling us. Get ready. Get ready for God to show Himself to you and to reveal Himself to you in a special and mighty way. You know, when we come to church today, you know what we have to do? We need to come being ready and being in a place where God can show up and do something. We come in here full of sin that's not repented of. Guess what? We're not ready. We come, we miss today because we're doing something else. We're not ready. We're not ready. We wasn't ready for God to do something. And we all need to get ready for God to show Himself to us. You know what you need to do? You need to be ready for God to use you. I've used this example before, but have you ever used something, used a tool or used something that wasn't meant for that purpose? And what I mean by that, have you ever tried to hammer a nail into something using something other than a hammer? Take a brick or a book, the back of a book, and you do that. You know, we've used things like that. Use a wrench to do that with. You know why you did that? You would have used a hammer, but that other object was closer to you. And you grabbed it and said, I'm going to use this. Well, we might not be the perfect tool, but if we'll just get close to God and say, we're ready, He'll grab us. You know, when I used to coach ball, and I'd coach basketball, and I'd try to sub somebody in, and I'd say, David, come get in the game, and you wasn't paying attention. I'd say, forget you. Lynette, you get in the game. You're paying attention. That's how God does sometimes. He says, I'm ready to use you. Oh, you're not paying attention. You're not ready. Where's your helmet? You don't know? You put it down somewhere and lost it? Well, forget it. You stay on the sideline then. I got to get somebody else. And what we need to do is we just need to be ready. We don't know when God's going to throw us into action. We don't know when He's going to put somebody in our place to witness. We don't know when these things are going to happen. It amazes me all week long how God just puts me in places to be used. And I have to say, God, I need Your help now to be used. And we just need to be ready. So much of life is just being ready to be used. Be ready for God to speak to you. You know, I've been where you are. In other words, I've sat in the pews and listened to somebody up here. And I've come to church with a lot on my plate. I've come to church when I'm thinking about a million other things, and I'm just here. And I tell you what, it makes a difference if you come and say, man, I'm coming to church. Let me clear my mind. Let me clear my thoughts. And let me get ready for God to speak to me. And get ready for that. Prepare to come to church. Prepare to be in the presence of God. And He told Moses, He said, Moses, you better be ready in the morning, because we've got an appointment. Be ready. And then He says, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. God always does this. There is supernatural works, divine works, and there is human responsibility. And they meet together. God will do supernatural things if we'll do our part. Now, what if Moses would have said, man, you know what, I can't make it till lunch tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to do that. God would have said, well, you know. And then, you know what God didn't do? God didn't just say, well, I'm just going to come down wherever you are, whenever you are ready, and all this. He said, get up in the morning, be ready, and meet me up on Mount Sinai. You come up where I'm at, and you come and go. Now, Moses had to put his faith into action and respond and be obedient to God. God's going to do this. You know, we're praying that God would send laborers to the field. He told us to do that. Today was the seventh Sunday in a row that we've had first-time visitors to our church. Seven Sundays in a row. That's amazing. But we can't just pray for that and not invite anybody. You see, they go hand in hand. We're praying. We're inviting. We're going out in the highways and hedges and compelling people to come in, and then God gets in the mix. I could give you example after example after example in the Bible of where God gave people a command, they followed it, and the supernatural happened after that. He told them in the Old Testament, I love this scripture. He said, dig this valley full of ditches. He said, you're not going to see any rain. You're not going to see any wind. He said, I'm going to fill these ditches full of water. They had to, by faith, dig that valley full of ditches, because they could do that. He told them, I talked about the wedding supper this morning. You know, he told them at the wedding supper, he said, y'all take these pots and you fill them up full of water. Now, he could have made wine out of nothing. But they, by faith, obeyed him and filled them pots full of water, and he turned them into wine. He told them in Lazarus, when Lazarus was dead, he said, y'all roll the stone away. They could have said, no point. We're not doing that. He's dead. They rolled the stone away. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And then when he came forth, he said, now y'all unwrap him. He always does that, and he does that with me and you. You've got to go and present yourself and get where God is. You've got to meet him halfway. You want God to talk to you? You want to experience him in a deeper way? Well, meet him. Go where he's at. Go where God is at. Come to church where God is at. Get in the Word of God where God is at. Get in the prayer closet where God is at. Go and seek God. He's not going to just always come down where you are and make it easy on us. He gives us a responsibility to do. And then look at what God did. God just delivered himself to them. Look in verse number 5 of chapter 34. It said, and the Lord descended. I like that. The Lord's got to descend, amen. He's got to come down where we are. He has ascended. He's high above the heavens. His throne is the heavens and the earth is his footstool. But he descends down to Oak Grove Baptist Church in the middle of nowhere where we are and meets with us. But he said he descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Man, it's good that God is going to reach down further than he ought to down where we are. In verse 6 it says this, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, God has showed up here before Moses. And you know what he did when he showed up? You know what God does? He just proclaims himself. That's what Moses wanted. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And God came down and said, let me tell you a little bit about myself. He said, I'm the Lord God and I am merciful. And I am gracious, and I am long-suffering. If you know God tonight, you know what you ought to know? If you know Him like I know Him, and you know me like I know me, you know that God is merciful, and He is gracious, and He is long-suffering. You know what I don't ever have to do? If I ever start thinking these people aren't doing what they need to do, always go back to myself. Judgment always starts with myself. And I know that God's been long-suffering to me. God's given me more opportunities than I ever deserve. Why would God ever speak to me? Why would God ever reveal Himself to me? Why would God ever be kind to me? I know that I'm wicked. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, they told me that we could live sinless. And I said, no, we can't live sinless. And he said, oh, yeah, we can live sinless. I said, man, I'm full of sin. He said, you're full of sin. I said, man, I struggle with pride, greed, envy, jealousy. I said, those are ugly things. We just think about drinking and drugs and murder. I said, but there's some ugly sins, that strife and bitterness, that we struggle with in our hearts. And why would God speak to me, somebody that struggles with these things? I told you sometimes I pray, God, you know this is my chief sin here. And then I start thinking, I go, never mind, I got about 10 of them. I've got about 10 chief sins that I struggle with and battle every day. And it's just a battle. But God is loving and long-suffering toward us. It says that He's abundant in goodness and truth. He got mercy for thousands of people, forgives iniquity. He doesn't let them off the hook without consequence, but He forgives them and does that. Well, we're thankful for that. You know, He said all of this, and look at how Moses reacted. In verse number 8, it said, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, thee go among us. And he says that. You know what Moses said? Moses saw God, and he worshipped Him. We should be people of worship. Now, I'm not saying that we got to run a lap and jump a pew, do all that. If you want to do that, that'd be fine, I guess. It'd be something to see. But we just got to be people of worship. We ought to have hearts of worship. We ought to come here with a humble heart. And you know what Moses did? Moses bought in. He said, man, I want more of this. I want more of you. I want you to be in our midst and do all these things. And then in verse 10, God tells him what he'd do. He said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people, I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it's a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Now, that word terrible is not the way we think of the word terrible. We think of terrible as bad. That's terrible. You know, that team is terrible. But it's just an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. And if me and you will commit to say and desiring in our hearts that we want God, and we'll do what He said, we'll get in the Word of God, we'll be ready, we'll go where He's at, and He'll show Himself to us, and we want more of Him. Here's what He said He'll do. He'll do marvelous things amongst us. You know, anytime somebody says that's a marvelous thing, that's an unbelievable, that's a supernatural thing, that God would open their blinded eyes, the Holy Spirit would convict them, and they would give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. You know, I've often thought about the missionaries. We're talking about missionaries and men's meeting and stuff. And, you know, they go down to these foreign countries and preach the gospel to people. And people get saved, you know. That amazes me. It amazes me that people get saved here. God will do great things. God will change lives. He'll transform lives. He'll heal relationships. He'll do just things that we can't do. He'll do things that we can't explain. He'll do those things. And you know what I pray? He said all those that are around y'all are going to see it and be amazed at what I do. And I pray that he'd do that here. We live in a area where there's just a ton of churches, right? We live in a day and age where it is normal for churches to be declining. That's normal. That is the norm. Churches are closing every day. I've heard about this week a few churches that are about to close the doors. They're about to shut down. Don't have anybody there. Can't get a preacher. Can't do these things. And they're about to just fold up. That's normal. That's normal. You know what I'd like for people to see in this place? They'll look around and say, man, God must be at work there. God must be doing something there. God is in their midst. You know what happens when people see a place where God is in their midst? They want to come and find out about it. And so I think about Rahab the harlot. You know what she said? We've heard about what your God did in Egypt, and we are terrified of him. She said, I want to join up with y'all because I know about God. And I pray that God would do that here. And so let's all leave from here and set our desires on the Lord. Say, God, just give me more of you. Give me a desire to want.